Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
We're all like guns, and I love being free. Because I'm armed, you can't take that from me, and you should know it.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode 166 of New Shooter Canada. It's just me and Benny tonight. How you doing, Benny?
I'm doing great. How are you doing,
good.
Thomas?
Good. You had a late night tonight. We're over at your brother's. You now have a new nephew in the world.
Yeah, I do.
And what do they name him?
Oh, that's tomorrow.
Oh, the naming's
after? Is tomorrow. Yeah.
So you circumcise a poor guy first, then you name him? That's not right. At least give
him
a name.
Well, that's how he joins the tribe. It happens at the same time, so.
Oh, so he doesn't get done until tomorrow.
No. Yeah, first thing in the morning.
Oh, poor kid.
That's fine. He won't remember.
Yeah, those are childhood memories I don't want to recall either.
8 days old. Yeah, you're not going to remember anything then.
As long as he's healthy, that's all that counts. Apparently, Mike was informed by Sarah that he was busy tonight, so there's no Mike tonight. We don't know what happened to George. But I did see George over New Year's Day. Actually, George dropped by in Wanda, and he got his new OozCon.
Awesome.
And it's actually,
I was going to say, I thought I saw pictures of him in town.
It's a nicer version of the gun, because the original one has the same stock that's on your 41. So there's no... Yeah. It's okay for your gun, because you don't have any rails on it. But Wanda's is nothing but rails across the top. So this one actually has an adjustable coom. So she can raise it up. And it was funny, because I'm not going to go into the whole OozCon story, because I promised George I wouldn't. But in a nutshell, when it was given to Canadian Gun Works, they took an extremely long time. They didn't actually do the Cerakoting. They sent it out to another company, who in turn sent it out to another company, who did a really poor, poor job of Cerakoting. And then I kind of upset Gun Works, because I took pictures and I put it on, I didn't put it on CGM, but I put it on the CCFR webpage and got Andrew all upset. So he said, let me make it right. And he did. Apparently him and the distributor stepped forward and they replaced the gun. Even though they didn't do the actual Cerakoting, it ended up going to a third party. They fixed it. So we're happy about that. And George is showing me the pictures of the 46. And I'm looking at it and I go, gee, I don't see any handguard or sights on that thing. And then I could look closer in the box and they're in the box. I said, so I took the handguard and the safety and the front sights off the pink gun and I put them in the case. I said, if he asks for the sights, I said, you know, tell him they're in the case. But if he doesn't ask for them, they're not going to do anything with the gun anyway, because you're going to destroy it taking the Cerakoting off. And then I said, while you're at it, I said, you know, that's a 10-round magazine. I said, ask Andrew if you can keep the 10-round magazine. So they picked up the gun. And so Andrew gave him the 10-round magazine, and Canadian Gun Works replaced it with the new 46. I think it's a 3, and they didn't ask for the sights. So if George ever makes his AR build, he has a carrying handle and front sights for his AR.
Awesome. So, yeah, I sent him a link this week to try and win him a rail for his build if he ever gets around to it, because I finished my lower this week.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So what do you have left to get?
I have an Aero Precision upper, but I also have an Aero Precision lower, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the upper. Otherwise, I'm missing the entire top section of my rifle. So
you need the bolt carrier?
Bolt carrier, barrel. Upper, and barrel. And what's it called? Handguard. But I did buy... I guess, is that everything you did in guns this week, Thomas? Because I can launch in, but I think you still have more to say on what
Well,
you
I'll still go in for a bit, because I kind of screwed up. Uh-oh. Normally, for the Christmas episode, we get George's dad to be Santa, and George says, I need it by the 15th. And I wasn't feeling well, and I didn't finish it till like the 20th, and we didn't have enough time. So I'm going to have some shout outs at the end of the show to people that I was normally put out on the Christmas show. So I apologize for listeners that we didn't put out a Christmas show. That was kind of my fault. So I guess over the holidays, I guess for Christmas, as everybody knows, I got that Hatson MP-ATS. It's a 12-gauge semi-auto. And so I got to play with that for a little bit, finally, because I got to look at it, test loads, and that was it. I've been trying to put optics on it. But even with the riser all the way up, I'm still having to do a chin hold instead of a cheek hold, and I don't like that. So I think I'm going to just leave it with the Ghost Rings. It's got half decent sights. It's just that with this cataract, I'm having a bugger of a time seeing it. So I see the eye doctor actually in 2 weeks. So once I get the cataract fixed, I won't have to worry about putting optics on it. And the same with the BL-22. I got that back a couple weeks ago from Keith Long. And he did a beautiful job on the trigger. It was 8.5 pounds out of the box. It's one of the few guns I actually bought through the post. I didn't actually... I'm one of these guys. I don't like buying guns online. I want it in my hand. I want to feel the trigger. I want to see the wood to metal fit. I want to like the gun. And I got such a good deal. I just ordered online. And I think the trigger was 8.5. And Keith's got it down just under 4 pounds. So it's...
Is that with replacement parts or with just polishing?
That's just with polishing, and I think he changed out one of the springs. There was a spring kit available, and it was $30 US, but the company's not registered with the US State Department, so he couldn't ship them over the border. So, and he only charged me, I think it was, with tax, it was like $50.18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he gave me a really good deal on it, so I really appreciate that.
I was going to say, because so someone actually... might be getting me like a large group of teenagers to go shooting. And I thought, you know, I may not want to, like, you know, let them use the larger caliber stuff. So I need to diversify my 22s, and I'm going to need another range officer. So maybe we should just take out the BL-22 and just, you know, give it a nice trigger job with, you know, a couple thousand rounds of 22. But
we don't need to do that now.
Yeah, we don't need to do that now. That would have put a little wear on your barrel.
Well, how many teenagers are we talking about?
I think like 14 teenagers is the, we don't know if it's going to happen yet, but 14 I think is the number. So 14 or 14 to 17 I think, including like parents and whatever.
Okay, those will have to do at the farm then.
Oh yeah, for sure.
We couldn't do those at the range. We could, yeah. But we'd have to rent the range and everything else, that many people. And I'm having the same issue with the BL-22 because it's, you know, it's a cowboy gun and it's the buttstock is so low. When you do a proper cheek weld, it's perfect for the sights. But for optics, it's way too low. So I went out and I got a couple of I don't have any scopes with grooved rails built in. So I've had to get adapter rings. So I have a groove rail to a Picatinny or a Weaver mount. I've got a couple different styles. But the problem is it brings the optics up inch and a half,
even higher. Right.
So then again, I've got a chin weld and not a cheek weld, and I'm so used to having the same hold all the time. I don't want to change my hold for different guns. So either I did find, Hawk does make a red dot on a groove receiver for the 9mm rail, but finding it up here, it's extremely expensive. It's like $300. I could get a Vortex Spark for that money. So again, I might just wait till I get the cataract fixed and I can see the front sight. Or what I was thinking about is that some of the cowboy guys have those leather pieces on the back, like where you put your swivels. It's got a swivel in it, and it's got a cheek riser and a leather butt pad, and it's actually one piece. So a leather riser with a cowboy action rig on the back, I could get away with. That would look okay. Yeah. Even if I put a skinny little scope or a skinny red dot, and that would bring it up and that still look kind of period correct. So hopefully, what else? Oh, I was looking at those. We had Sylvie on the show a couple of months ago. She's got that ammo back, that magazine holder that fits on the side. So basically all your mags fit in this pouch and they're spring loaded. So when you pull your mags out, one mag out, next one's there automatically. So you're not changing position. It's the same pull all the time. And Sylvie says it changes her it saves her a few seconds. And I put it on CCFR, and I had quite a few people interested in it, but I didn't realize it was $600.
Yeah.
So I was actually, I messaged Sylvie because I think it's her brother that makes them. And I said, you know, it's $600. I said, I could get a couple of really nice belts and holsters for $600. So I think the price is going to be dropping down because he said, well, would you do it for 500, or would you do it for 450? And so I can, the prices will probably be coming. I could see it, you know, half the price, 3 to 4 for what it is. It is handmade. So, you know, you're looking at a couple days work just to do it, but at $600, it's a hard sell. You know, if you dropped it down to 400, maybe even that's kind of high. But for the new shooter, it's just not out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else? Oh, and Crystal got all her parts. I had messaged her a couple days ago because I wasn't, except when I ordered that shotgun, it took 2 weeks to get there by mail. So, or the holidays. So I guess Matter to Arms, she shipped her 1022 parts out right away and she got the grip right away. So she's a happy girl. So what about you, Benny? What you do in guns this week?
Ooh.
Besides that.
This week I went and shot a, well, actually technically was it last week? New Year's Day, I went and I shot a three gun. No. Before New Year's Day.
There's first.
I went and I shot.
On the Sunday.
First, yeah. On the Sunday. I went and I shot a three gun. My first three gun ever. And I did pretty well. I ranked on the first stage, I ranked sixth, I think. And the second stage, I ranked fourth. Overall, second. So I'm very impressed with my performance.
And that was when the cold weather hit, wasn't it? It was pretty cold day.
We were shooting indoors, but it was freezing by the end of the shoot, by the second stage actually, because the first stage was kind of long, took us a long time to get everyone through. You could see our breath inside, like nice huge plumes of smoke as you breathed out. I'd switched to running shoes, because you know I showed up in my work boots and they were kind of heavy and slippery on the indoor, so I'm like, oh, I'll just change my running shoes. And of course, being running shoes, there's very little material there, so my toes were freezing. It was so cold, actually, that I decided for the second stage, I'll just run through the whole stage. So we start off at about 35 yards. For the first stage, you had to shoot two plates and then knock all a dueling tree, knock all the plates to the other side. So that's eight shots. Then you had to run to about, I think it was 10 yards. Switch to your shotgun and you have to knock one of those swingers over. So like there's a piece of rebar sitting between two stands and a target and a large plate and a small plate hanging from this piece of rebar vertically, I guess. So like if you're looking piece of rebar through the middle and then you're on the bottom, you have the big plate, top you have the small plate, and using your shotgun you had to make the target rotate once around the rebar. So I was actually for the first stage, I borrowed Gavin's semi-auto.
Oh, he's got the Versamax, doesn't he?
Yeah, Versamax. And I got one malfunction while I was doing that, and I was like, "Oh shoot, what am I doing?" Because I wasn't sure if the Uzcon was gonna run well, because I just picked up Challenger shot shells, and I wasn't sure if they were gonna run, so I didn't have time to test them. So I just ran the Challengers in Gavin's gun, and I think the Winchester white box that I was originally running runs better in Gavin's than the Challenger. And as listeners would know, said it before, the Winchester jam up in the Uzcon. So, but the Uzcon runs the Challengers perfectly. So first stage, I used, Gavin's gun. I did manage to get it to slip over. Then I switched to the Jericho and you had, a hostage target. So, you had the, it was an X-Metal, so it had a plate next to the hostage's head, and then two plates in the hostage. So you had to kill the hostage taker, and then knock the two plates in the hostage's body out.
You got to shoot the hostage?
I guess, it's the hostage decided he liked his hostage taker. So after you kill the hostage taker, your hostage then becomes hostile, and you put him down. So... you had to knock out those two, and then you had a Texas Star, and this is the first time I ever shot a Texas Star.
Oh, those are fun.
It was so much fun. Yeah, I had a great time shooting that thing. So that was the first stage, and I did, turns out I did six, so I think I did pretty well for my first three gun. It took me a little bit of time, but I think that's maybe why I went to six. For the second stage, though, again, we started at 35 yards, but instead of having the dueling tree and the two plate targets, we just had five plate targets. Then shotgun was the same thing. We had to spin the target around. And then for the pistol section, you had to shoot those five plates again, but only at, 10 yards. So what I forgot to say was the first time I went up to shoot, for a rifle, I was like, there's no reason I have to stand to do this. So I went into the kneeling position. It wasn't like a proper maple seed kneeling. It was just a quick hurried, but it was more stable than standing. And I think that's what got me to go a little faster.
Because they didn't specify in the stage description whether you had to shoot standing or kneeling, right?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So the second time, though, so the second stage, what I did was I dropped a prone. And it was a lot faster. I took those targets out a lot quicker, but the ground was so cold that by the time I got to the last target, like the second last target, I was like subconsciously pushing myself away from the ground because it was so cold and I wasn't looking through my sights properly. So by the time I got to the last target, I had to like take a second, prepare myself, drop down properly, get behind my rifle and shoot again. So, and then I jumped back up and continued going, but, I managed to get fourth for that. So I think it paid off.
So how many people showed up for the match?
Total, there was 22 in the end.
Oh, good.
22. Yeah. Yeah. 22 guys. So yeah, it was quite a, and that's, I think, Andrew, who was running the match, Vincent, he didn't expect so many people to show up. And so he had to quit. Like, so the first stage was quite large. Or it took quite a bit of time. And so that's sort of why it took us a long time to get through the first stage. The second stage, though, people went through much quicker. But yeah, it was cold at that point.
No, I'm assuming the range was heated, but just the concrete floor was just absolutely freezing.
I don't know. I think there might have been something wrong with the heater because it was cold the whole way through. Oh. Like, yeah.
Because I thought it was going to be an outdoor match.
No. Apparently, you can't shoot outdoors at Guelph on Sundays.
Oh, yeah. It could be something with the neighbors.
Yeah, so they have to shoot indoors. But yeah, it was my first match, but I had a blast. It was so much fun.
So who is the top shooter?
Don't remember his name.
Mr. Vincent?
No, he actually didn't manage to shoot. He was.
Oh, he was. He was the range master for the whole thing.
He was the range master. He was the range officer. So he didn't really have. No one in the end, he didn't get to shoot, which is kind of sad.
Oh, that sucks. After all the work he did.
Yeah. 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 So let me see if I can pull it up here. The number one shooter.
Were Tim's good t-shirts included for the match fee?
No. So I think the number one shooter was Warren Lee.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so he did really well. So yeah, that was it. And I don't know if I'm going to the next match, which is going to be on the 28th. But if I do manage to go, that will be amazing.
Oh, it's cool that they're holding them on a Sunday too. It makes it a lot easier for some of our friends to get out there and shoot.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, guns in the news. We're not really putting any news stories in this week because there's so many new guns coming out there. I put two Rugers in because the thing I like about Ruger is that they don't announce a product and then you have to wait 6 months, 8 months, or a year for it to come out. Ruger is notorious for stocking the dealers with the guns, then announcing. So when Ruger announces that they've got a new gun out, it's already at the dealers that is being shipped to the retailers as they announce it. They've done that over the last couple of years, especially with the Mark IV pistols. As soon as they announced it, it was in dealer's hand and you could get them the next day. So they've done the same thing. They've done two new rifles. The first one I'll talk about, they've got the Patrol Carbine back. The original, I think it was called the Police Pistol Carbine. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Was a pistol caliber carbine. It was designed to be a companion for the Ruger P-Series pistols, but they discontinued those in 2007, and it wasn't really selling too well. The trigger really sucked on them, and they were proprietary. They only worked with the Ruger P-Series mags. So unless you had a P94 and P-Series mags, you couldn't use any other. Well, the new PC, I keep saying you want to see PPC. The new PC carbine, as they call it, has interchangeable magazine well for use with the common Ruger mags, so I guess the SR mags. There's also a Glock magazine mag well, and it ships.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's one thing I'm worried about with new guns. So I applaud Ruger for deciding, you know what, if you don't buy our magazine, that's fine. They're going to get so many more people buying this because they can use it with their Glock mags.
Exactly. And which, you're going to see law, this is going to pick up with law enforcement in the States too, because so many people, I think that's why they did it, because so much law enforcement are issued Glocks. They weren't issued P-Series Ruger magazines back in 2000. So it ships with the Glock mags, and it also slips with the SR Series pistol mags as well. And the Security 96 mag well is installed, and an additional magazine, and it'll accept different magazine wells as too.
That is amazing. And Ruger, like you, I was impressed with you before, but now you topped it. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's cool. It's cool. And it's a lot nicer than the first PC carbine. This one is a takedown design, and it's called a dead blow action feature, because it's got a tungsten dead blowback weight that shortens the bolt travel and reduces the felt recoil a little bit. Not like you're going to get a lot of recoil with a 9mm, but I like the fact that it's a takedown design, and it is going to have the short stroke on it. The magazine is reversible, and the charging handle is reversible. The barrel is a heavy contoured, it's fluted, and it's threaded. It's got an adjustable ghost ring rear aperture sight, and it's got a protected front plate sight. It's got a soft rubber butt pad and spacer, so you can properly size it for your overall length. It's got a forward mounting accessory rail. Apparently, it's got a light crisp trigger pull. And it says positive resetting utilizing 1022, the proven 1022 trigger. So if this has got a 1022 trigger in it, that would be awesome, because I'm assuming it doesn't look like it's a lower, but if it's got the trigger parts, you're talking Volks quartz and hammers and sears, and you can really lighten up the triggers if that's the case. It has an integrated Picatinny rail. As I said, it includes one SR series pistol magazine, a hex wrench for the rear sight adjustment, butt pad spacers. There's a little tool you need to remove the charging handle, but it comes with that. Unfortunately, it's 16.5 inch right now. So if it does come out, it's going to be restricted up here, but you never know. It'd be nice if they came out with an 18 inch, but for three gun, I could see it. A lot of guys shoot Glocks. A lot of the rifle matches aren't real long ranges. So it's a nice little toy. And they got a new rimfire out. Tell them about the rimfire. This is even cooler.
So Ruger Precision Rimfire. Featuring a mold one-piece chassis and adjustable buttstock assembly manufactured with glass-filled nylon for strength, stiffness, and stability, making a solid foundation for accuracy each and every shot. The adjustable buttstock features a flat Picatinny bag rider, making it easy to affix a rear monopod. A molded-in window provides a tether point for your squeeze bag, and a metal QD pocket makes it easy to secure a sling. Quick fit adjustment precision rimfire stock allows length of pull and comb height to be quickly and easily adjusted to get proper fit over a wide range of shooter sizes, outerwear, and shooting positions. Indicating marks molded into the chassis help you quickly return to previous position. Big gun bolt throw adjustment enables shooters to change from rimfire 1.5 inch bolt throw to a short action centerfire 3 inch bolt throw, reducing the chance of short stroking your bolt in competition. Ruger Marksmanship adjustable trigger has a pull weight range of 2.25 to 5 pounds. Adjusting wrench is stored in the buttstock compartment. Ruger's own AR pattern pistol grip and safety selector incorporates an extended reach for maximum control and accesses to the 45 degree reversible safety selector. May be configured with most AR style grips and selectors.
That's good.
Anodized Picatinny scope base includes a 30 MOA elevation for increased long-range capability out of the box. Oversized bolt handle for positive bolt manipulation, same as the Ruger Precision Rifle. 15-inch free-float handguard is made of hard black anodized aluminum and features Magpul M-Lock slots on all four sides for improved scope clearance and easy mounting of M-Lock-compatible rails and accessories. 18-inch target barrel is cold hammer forged from 41040 alloy steel to create ultra precise rifling for excellent accuracy. Barrels can be replaced easily by competent butts gunsmith using AR style wrenches and head spacing gauges. Threaded barrel 1.5 by 28 for standard muzzle accessories like the Silent SR suppressor comes with a factory installed thread protector covering both the thread and crown. Includes two 10-round mags in Canada.
Actually, in the States, it actually includes the 15 rounder, but I took that out since they're prohibited up here for some stupid reason. But
I'm excited because it looks like the pistol caliber and carbine, if it's going for the MSRP in the States, is going for about $805 right now Canadian.
Yeah, and that's a beautiful stock on it. I really like the stock on that. And if the trigger is anything like your dad's got the Ruger American, and it's got a nice trigger. I really like the trigger on that. So I'm wondering.
And that hasn't been played with at all. So I think that comes set from the factory at 5 pounds. So
yeah, and he's never adjusted that. Yeah. I keep saying, come on, Stan, turn that down. But even the way it's set up, it's still a nice, crisp trigger. So you don't mind if it's a little heavy because it breaks so clean.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about this. The Ruger Precision, like I know at Silverdale, they don't let you shoot at past 100 using rimfire. So how much distance can you get out of a 22 long rifle?
I don't usually shoot past 100 with mine, because you're anything over that, your hold's going to be pretty high, right?
Yeah,
because it drops so fast. But I think the carbine, I think they set a U.S. list price of $600 for that. So so add 30%, so it'd probably be $900. So it'll still make it cheaper than the Aero Precision or the DR carbine up here.
Right, and another thing about like Glock mags, you can get aftermarket Glock mags easily enough in Canada.
Oh, and they're cheap. They're like $30 for aftermarket mags.
Yep. It's I'm selling them for $34.99 for 10-round Glock mags.
So if you need some 10-round Glock mags, you go to BennyLewis.ca and you can order them directly. So what other products? You've got the mags, and you've got. Tell me about the clip loaders.
The cam loaders. So those work. Those are a little finicky. Right now, I've found that they really only work on aftermarket Glocks. I tried to get a Glock magazine in there the other day, and it didn't go so well. But I was putting it in wrong. I don't know. CZ mags, because I'm using the Jericho, so it works in those. SIG, and what was the last one I tried it on? I don't remember. I think it works on M&P.
And what are they retailing for?
They're retailing at $42.99. If they don't tell you this, but if you put a round in first, it's a lot easier to line them up properly. So put one round in, line it up, and then you got your next nine in 2 seconds, versus taking a lot longer if you're using your mag lula. You got to put each round in there. It takes a little bit longer.
Well, I guess the first one you get, because you're fighting the follower, because the follower has that bit of a dip in it. So if you put the first round in, then you're not fighting the follower at the feed lip. So makes it a little bit easier.
Sort of, but it's more of just, it helps lining up. They did just release the second generation of their cam loader for 9mm and 40. So that one did need a little help, but if you're using for the rifle one, the rifle works perfectly fine the first time round. So, if you want to load your mags in 2 seconds for rifle, then get the cam loader. Pistol takes 3 seconds, but again, much faster than using the mag lula.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. One of the times sucks too.
Yeah.
You know what's one of the worst is that I've got 10 ground power mags, and I only usually use 5 of them. So I went to load up the other 5 that they're still brand new. Those springs have been sitting there for 4 or 5 years. You think I could get that last round in, even getting the first couple in, because the magazines haven't set and they're so tight. So I wouldn't mind getting one of those things just to speed up my magazine loading process.
Well, yeah, for sure. We'll have to go to the range sometime and test them out, see how well they work with the ground power.
Well, we might be going. Well, we can't take the Cathy's, unfortunately.
No. But maybe next time I have some free time and you have some free time, we can head out to the range and get some shooting done.
Sounds good. I'd like to try it and see how it works. So the topic this week is red dot sights. Now, we're going for red dot sights on a budget. So just a little bit about red dots is basically a red dot or it's a reflex sight that can be used with both eyes open for unlimited eye relief. This increased eye relief gives you greater field of vision, provides faster and safer target acquisitions, especially on moving targets. There's very little need to center it due to the parallax redesign. mostly parallax-free, in which the red dot follows the movement of the user's eye while remaining fixed to the target. The only drawback is that a red dot with a larger MOA dot will tend to obscure your targets at longer distances. Quite a few times I see people at the range and using the red dot, and they've got one eye closed. And I'm like, you don't need to close an eye. Because what do you mean? It's, well, you don't, you're not focusing on anything. Keep both eyes open. And then it just makes it a lot easier. So I'm basically just going to cover about four or five that I actually own. There's one I don't own, the Trugo I don't own. But these I all actually own, and I can tell you a little bit about them and what my experiences are about them. So I guess the least expensive one out there right now is, do you have any of these red dots, Benny?
Or, no, I don't. The only thing I have is an EOTech, actually.
EOTech.
But I am looking at getting some Trinity 4 stuff from the States, but more on that later.
Well, the least expensive one up there, Browning has a Buckmark. It's called Browning Buckmark Reflex. It's an entry-level red dot marketed for use in 22 rimfires. So you don't want to mount this thing on a centerfire handgun or a rifle and then complain if it fails, because if it fails, it's your own fault. Actually, I was at FOC last month, and there was a new guy. He was showing some guys one of those, the Chiapa caliber for single shots. You know, you can run a 30-30 and everything. And he says, yeah, so I'm going to get one of these things. And I'm just going to put one of those Browning red dots on it and just put it on my single shot and use that. And I didn't say a word because I know it's going to fail. I know. I was talking to Gary up at Williams Arms a couple of years ago. And the guys were doing that. They're putting them in high-powered rifles and they're coming back as soon as they use them. They're not designed for that. They're designed for rimfire, anything light recoiling, anything, because they don't rate the problem with the thing, first of all, is that, well, let me give you the pros first, okay? It does have four rectal pattern, a circle dot cross, a 3/8 MOA red dot, a dot, a cross dot rectal, a circle dot rectal, and seven brightness settings. The cons, it says it's designed and rated for rimfire use only, and the Browning video does state light caliber firearm. But the firearm is not rated as being waterproof or shockproof, so even the manufacturer is not going to warrant it for that. The other problem is that the windage and elevation adjustments are via Allen screws. You can hear it like when you put the Allen screw in, and it's the same screw that you get for mounting it. But the problem is, you know, you've got to remember to bring that Allen screw, because if you change ammunition and your point of impact changes and you don't have an Allen screw, you're not going to be able to adjust the sights. The pros to it is that it's, if you shop around, it's $50 to $75. It does have a really open field of view. It's very lightweight, which is one of the reasons I wanted to put it in my BL-22, because it wouldn't add any weight to the gun. It's got a really nice, small, clear 3 MOA dot. And having the multiple rectal options is nice. The next one that you're going to find maybe a little bit more money, maybe $75. Tasco has a red dot, not the ProPoint model. The ProPoint model is actually pretty decent. I actually have this one. The problem is it is a very bright scope or a red dot. It's got a very wild field of view, but it has a 5 minute angle dot. So indoors, anything past 20 yards, you're going to be obscuring the black on your bullseye. But for hunting, if you're doing, you know, a big game, it's fine, because you're not going for pin precision of a bullseye target. And it's got 11 position real stats, so you can really crank up the brightness on this thing. And the other option to this, it comes with two base options. It comes either a dovetail rail or a Weaver style, same price. So if you want to put this on a 22 that's got a 9mm rail, you're fine. If not, you can just order it from the Weaver. And I think I paid $50 for mine at LeBaron's a couple years ago. And it is rated for shotguns up to 3-inch magnums and handguns up to 357. And it has a Rubicon multi-layered. It says fully coated lenses. It's on the outside. I would consider any of the Tasco Rubicon to be a poor lens coating, and it does have a short warranty. I think it's a 1-year warranty. Same with the Browning. The Browning only has a 1-year warranty too. I also noticed that the base screws were very soft metal, so if you over tighten it, you're going to strip it. Of course, you know, it's like most of these, it's made in China. Of course, it's got a large MOA dot, but if you're not shooting past 20 yards, that's fine. And it's very bright, which I liked about that. Then you go up a little bit more to $75 to $100. Now, I've never actually owned the Trugo. I have used this. Again, it's got a 5-minute angle, 5-minute angle reticle. So it's, as I said, for precision work, it's not quite there. hunting, it's fine. The option on this one, it has two colors. So you have the option of indoors and outdoors. It does have the integrated Weaver. These all actually have integrated mounts, by the way. I should have said that. Only the Red Dot offers two different mounts. So it does have the integrated style mounting system. The pros, it's inexpensive and it has a lifetime warranty, which I liked. It also has the turrets for the adjustments are on lanyards. There you go. Okay, you get at me, Kelly. So you won't lose your lens caps. And the con, as I said, it's got the 5 MOA dot. The anti-reflective coating is only on the inside of the optic. It's not on the outside. So that's probably one of the reasons that people had difficulty transitioning from dark to light. And I found that it had poor bright light performance. And actually, a couple of years ago, I think McClatchy had one of these. And that was his big complaint too, that transitioning from dark to light, it wasn't very good. The shock resisting on this thing, it just put 1,000 Gs. So are they talking 1,000? I don't think it's 1,000 Gs as in G-forces, because I don't think it would take 1,000 Gs. So I'm not sure if the shock resistant is 1,000 grams, but they just put shock resistant to 1,000 and then a G. So I'm not sure if that'd be a G rating or not. As I said, and the anti-reflective is only interior. But, you know, for $75.99 to $99, it's a good deal. But again, it's just the one base option. You can either do just the Weaver on it. The next one up is one that tends to be really popular these days. Bushnell has the TR25, and it's available in two models. You can get it with just the Weaver base, or it comes, I think it's an additional $25, and you get a riser, so you can put it on your AR. So you see a lot of guys running these on their AR. Thing I like about it is that it has the smaller dot. It has the 3 MOA dot. And they rate it at 100% waterproof, fogproof, and shockproof. And it's $125 on Amazon, I think. It's available in black and camo. It's dry nitrogen filled. It's got a multicolored optics and a really bright high amber contrast coating lens. So I find this particular dot works really, really well in bright light. The con is that it only has one single reticle, whereas some of these have two, but it is very clear. It also has 11 brightness settings as well, and the integrated rail. You know, for the money, it's light. It's super, super light. I'm running this now on my compensated 22 with the Red Dot, and I really, really like it. The reason I'm running this one is because I have the next one, the Bushnell Trophy Red Dot, which is the TR25 is actually replacing this one. This is a different model. Let me tell you about it first. The Trophy Bushnell Red Dot, it's got 8 different reticles. So you've got reticles. So you've got 2 different colors, and you can run a 3-minute dot, a 10-minute dot, a dot with crosshairs, or crosshairs with a 65 minute of angle ring, or just a 3-minute dot. It's indoors, it's fine. It's amber bright. It's got a nice high contrast coating inside. It also is 100% waterproof, shockproof, the whole bit, and dry nitrogen fill. Like, the optics are nice. The controls are easy to access. The thing I like about this, it also has a sunshade that actually allows you to extend the surface. So if you want to, if you're having a problem mounting it and you need more space, you can actually make the tube longer for mounting rings. That's the other downfall. This is the only one that actually has rings. All the other ones that I mentioned have integrated mounts. This one actually has rings. So you're going to have to mount it and balance it out. The only problem with this one is it has very poor daylight performance in either a color. Even though I say, well, you've got green for outdoors, it doesn't work. I took this thing to my very first Canadian Reload Radio zombie shoot about 3 or 4 years ago, and I could not see the target at 20 yards outdoors in the sunlight. If the dot was on a brown part of the target or a black part, then I could see it. If I transitioned to a light color, it disappeared, which is one of the reasons that I actually I got the TR25 instead, and I also got the Vortex Spark, because I found this thing just did not for me outdoors. You know, depending on your eyes, but I didn't like it. So I still have it. I still use it indoors, but outdoors I either use I find the TR25 works good outdoors, and the Vortex Spark works really good outdoors too. That's one thing you have to take in consideration with Red Dots, is how bright they actually are in the bright light, because sometimes when you transition, it's kind of hard, and you can lose them on a light target if they don't rate it as daylight bright. So you're running the Ecotec.
Yeah, EOTech.
I know, I just threw it in there. Just to bug Trevor.
Yeah, I'm running EOTech. At first, I still have to get used to using it, so I'm used to using a proper optic, so where you focus on the optic rather than your target, or combination of the two. And I was finding it was very grainy, right? I didn't like that. But then after we had our interview with Jay, he said, well, you're not supposed to be looking at the target. You're not supposed to be looking at the dot. You're supposed to be looking at your target. And the problem went away. So, and I obviously am not having an issue. I managed to score quite highly on the last three guns. So
I have, I have the same thing. I have a similar optic. It's actually, when Bushnell was selling it, it is an EOTech, made in USA EOTech, but it's by Bushnell. And that's what I noticed, the exact same thing, because I was looking at the image, not at the target. And because you can see all little tiny dots. The difference too is that we were talking about red dots earlier. The EOTech is not actually a red dot. It's a holographic sight.
Holographic.
So it's, it's a different image. So it's almost like a little pulsating beam. So yeah, that takes a little bit, because I'm so, when I got that, I was so used to using my red dots. I was doing exactly what you're saying. I wasn't looking at the target. I was concentrating on that small little diode that I'm used to concentrating on.
Right.
So that was good advice.
Yeah. But that's my only real, and then also actually I completely forgot, but it's not a very cheap sight. The Mapro 20, was it M21? I forget what it's called. The Meprolite, whatever the Israelis use.
They're not.
So that I'm used to using.
They're not cheap.
No, they're not. They're like $500. and they don't work inside. They work at night because they have Trinity. They use both, what's it called?
Tritium and fiber optic tubes?
Yeah, they use fiber optic tubes and trinium. So it can works in complete darkness, but if you're going from dark to light, then it doesn't work so well. They do have a thing you can mount on the side that fixes that issue, but it's this huge bulking thing, apparently. So
like a light source or something?
Yeah, it's a huge light source, but instead of like making it like a flat piece of whatever, it's like giant battery compartment that you turn to turn on, and it can get in the way and stuff, so people don't like using it. But in terms of using fiber optics to highlight your sights, I love them because you don't have to worry about batteries.
So I had the opposite problem with my Vortex Spark, because I bought it originally to replace the poor light performance I was getting outdoors with the Bushnell Trophy, but I found the Spark was too bright indoors. It was like, even if I put the lowest setting, it was too bright. Now that could be my eyes, because I said I've been having issues with my eyes, especially with the cataracts. So maybe, and I do have an extreme sensitivity to light. So the Vortex Spark did not work for me indoors. I hated it, but I've got it in my AR and it works great outdoors. I really like it outdoors. And I find for me with my eyes, the Bushnell TR25, it's $125. I can run it on my optics, on my AR if I wanted to. I like it on my 22 pistols. It's small, it's light, like it's really sharp, and I get the daylight. It's fine outside in the bright light. So if I'm going to get another dot, I would get another TR25.
I was spoiled. I was using, because after the Mepro, I was using an ACOG with a fiber optic top. Those things are so expensive. But they're so awesome.
They're over a grand, aren't they?
Wolverine has one for $17.24.
They actually had one at the pawn shop. Terry and I.
Oh, really?
Terry and I went to there's this restaurant in Teddy's in Oshawa called Teddy's. Yeah. And of course, I'm smoking, so they're eating, and I go out. There's a pawn shop, and they had one in there. And I think it was like,
how much was it go?
I think they wanted $900 for it.
Well, if it's the real deal, that's a great deal.
Yeah, it was the real deal. Now I'd have no way of checking it. I know nothing about the optic. I don't know what if it takes batteries, if the light source is depleted in it. But I just looked at it. I know that thing's worth a lot of money, and I know it's not worth a lot more than $900.
Yeah. So like even when we were running them, we were running with electrical tape over most of the fiber optic, because you don't want it too bright, right? So that's what we were doing. That was a nice Yeah.
That's not a bad suggestion at all either.
Yeah. That's how we made it adjustably bright.
So if anybody has any other reflex sights or red dots they want to talk about, or if there's something you missed, don't just write us. Let us know that we missed something. Because these are just ones that I'm familiar with. These are the ones that I've bought, I've used. I'm sure there's other brands. The only thing I can really suggest, I've seen people buy like the Leaper stuff, or that was the Braska. You know, you get what you pay for. Most of the stuff comes from China anyway. So it's some of it may be made in the, like, the first Browning reflex sight I talked about, there is a Chinese made version for like $25. And it's okay if you want to put it in your airsoft, go ahead. But, you know, if you want any accuracy, you really should spend a little bit of money on your optics, even your red dots. Like, you know, don't go spending $25, $30 to get a, Leapers are expensive, or on Amazon to get the cheapest thing that you can get because it's got 8 different reticles in 2 different colors. You know, get something that's got some quality that's gonna send up to the bees. Like, I've got all these, and none of them have ever failed. And that trophy one indoors, it's got 20,000-30,000 rounds of 22s through it. I've had it for probably 10 years at least, and I've dropped it and everything else, and it's never failed. So it's something that you want to spend the money. And it's not like optics where you go out and spend out. You don't have to spend $100 or $1,000 on glass. It's a red dot. It's a reflex sight. It's, you know, it's not costing you a lot of money, but you're better to spend $100 or $150 than spend $25 on Amazon for one. It's just my advice.
Yeah. Buy once, cry once.
Yeah, that's it. Like, the most I've ever spent on one was the Vortex Spark. And I originally did, it's a Spark 2. I purposely didn't get the Spark 1. And I would suggest anybody is thinking of buying a Spark or an older one, avoid the Spark 1 because the batteries are next to impossible to find. Spark 2, take the common CO32 battery. The Spark 1 is a different battery. And I know guys are having a hard time finding those batteries. That's another thing too with all these. They all take the CO32 batteries. They're all easy to find. Dollar store, you can get three batteries for $2. So, which is another reason I mentioned all these. And even the SparkTech, the Spark 2 takes the CO, I think it's a CO3032 battery. So, unlike your EOTech, does it take N cells?
Nope, 2 AA's.
Oh, excellent. Accent.
My
Bushnell version of that takes 2 N cells, $20 every time I want to replace the batteries. And I think Filthy was having the same issue. Even if you turn it off, it discharges the batteries because he has the exact same optics. So when I come back, I got to take the batteries out. If I forget and a month later I go to use it, or 2 months later, it's going to be dead. And N cells, actually, Walmart does have them sometimes.
Yeah. It's always worthwhile to look at what kind of power source whatever you're buying needs, and the warranty of the company. They're not necessarily the only thing to look at when you're buying something, but they definitely should help you choose the companies you buy stuff from. Vortex, excellent customer service,
lifetime warranty, and everything.
Exactly. So it's worthwhile to get their. It's worthwhile to save up to get their product, most because of that. And then when choosing which product you purchase, find something with an easy power source. So batteries or whatever. That's why I like fiber optic. Not that I have, those things tend to be a little more expensive, but fiber optic is pretty awesome. And the sun isn't going to run out anytime soon, from what I understand. So.
Cool, good stuff. So events, what do we have for the first event? Who wrote this?
Well, Mike, I don't know, but I'll take it.
Mike might put it in. Okay, you want to do event one, Benny?
Yeah, January 27th, annual Furbangers Predator Derby.
That sounds host, dirty. Host,
yeah, I think it's supposed to. Well, you're shooting fur and it's bang because you're shooting it.
Yeah. I'll shut up now.
Hosted by Barton's Big Count Country, join us for our annual Predator Derby, January 27th and 28th. Entrance fee is $50 per person. Maximum of 4 people. A team prize will be awarded to the biggest, smallest, most heaviest, best coat. Category prizes and door prizes will be given out at Egan's Pub down the road. Last year we gave away $5,000 in prizes. Register in store today. See the link for more details and rules. So wait, but what do you do on a Predator Derby? Is there like just a giant field and you shoot stuff?
I don't know. It could be squirrels.
Let's see.
It would groundhog. They don't specify what it is. Is it
no?
What's the ones that you shoot? Either 17
gophers.
Yeah, that's groundhogs. Well, no, but there's something else out there. They're not called groundhogs out there. It's like a small gopher.
Oh, it's in Alberta. It's probably gophers.
Yeah, but no, it's not a groundhog. It's a smaller rodent where they build huge mounds and they have these guys have little lookouts and everything, and they got monster populations.
It's a shame I don't have
code. We don't have them here, so I blank on what it is.
Oh, it came from Jason Philp. Okay.
Okay. Hey, and the next event is. Is this month for the CSSA draw, they've got a premium fishing package consisting of a Shimano Stradic 2500 spinning reel. Oh, that's a nice reel. Loomis E6X spinning rod and a Loomis Fisherman's backpack value $700. $20 donation will give you one chance. Better yet, three chances for $50 and $100 donation gets you 10 chances. Draw dates February 1st. Link and the address are in the show notes. And I just threw this in at the last minute. Sad news. L. Simmons in Hamilton is going out of business. Longtime retailer shutting the doors again. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
But I wouldn't go right away, because if you've been listening to Slamfire, Froshy's been getting some smoking deals at Wholesale Sports. He keeps going back and going back, and he's gotten some dirt cheap. Because first he said there's going to be no sale on the guns. Then they said it was going to be like 15% of the guns. And he's getting some amazing. If you want to see some good gun reviews, I don't know how many he bought, but I bet you Frosty picked up at least 10 guns in the last month. So wait a little bit before you go in there, because right now they've only got marked 20% off all hats and shotguns and 15% off new in-stock firearms. Well, people were selling that stuff over the holidays. So wait a little bit, then go in. Don't go right off the bat. But they are having 10% off all the ammunition and reloading supplies. So go on their website to see when the final day is. But towards the end, you get the better deals.
How much was your shotgun?
It was $400.
Okay.
They wanted.
Got to keep that in mind.
They wanted five and change for it in there.
Okay.
My gunsmith wanted $575 for it. Most places are selling about $425, so I got mine at Kelly's online, had it on sale for $4 plus free shipping plus tax. So I'm happy with it.
Spend some time going through the website, earmarking whatever I want to get on sale.
Listener email. Do we have any email?
Yeah, it looks like it's from Cody. In episode 164, Deli was mispronounced by Thomas. The proper way to say it is Dell as in Dell computer, high as in Delhi. Okay? Apologies if you were talking about another town, but to my knowledge, there is no other town, city, or village in Ontario named the same. What? Okay, Thomas?
Well, Cody, did you listen to the little disclaimer in the front of the show about the hosts and word pronunciations?
I was thinking the same thing. No, but in case anyone did, like, I don't remember what you were talking about, Thomas. I probably wasn't even on that episode.
I think I might have said Delhi or like New Delhi instead of Delhi.
But well, I now think we know what you were talking about.
I think I might have been referring to the Canadian Wild Turkey Federation banquet that was coming up. That's quite possible. I'm old. I forget these things, you know. But I know I did mispronounce it.
I have said in the past, you know, I don't care what kind of listener feedback we get as long as we get listener feedback. So thank you, Cody, for sending us that email.
Oh, we love getting a lot. Especially, we haven't got one from Splatter in a long time.
Yeah, what's up with that?
I don't know. He's probably out shooting.
Lucky him. You want to take the next one, Thomas?
Next one. It doesn't say who it's from, but I'm guessing it's Jay from with the company that he was Armatura he used to have. He used to do the training company.
Armatura.
Unfortunately, because of his job, they shut down the company. So he messaged us, because he's saying Jess is looking, which was his partner in training. She's an EMS, isn't she? He's law enforcement. She's an EMS. He said Jess is looking to get into hunting and sporting clays, and she's looking to sell her rifle and pistol to get in, to get a broader shotgun. Oh, yeah, they're expensive. If you know anyone who might be interested and licensed, please pass on the word. So Jess has an AR-15 Aero Precision X-15 upper and lower. It's a 16-inch Daniel Defense with a 1-in-7 twist, chrome-lined barrel, government profile. It's got a Giselle MK...
Geisley.
Geisley?
I said Giselle? Isn't that kind of how you
pronounce it? No, it's Geisley.
You're right. I don't know.
You're right. It is Geisley. I've got my old glasses on. Geisley... Mark IV 15-inch rail, Geisley Ambi supercharged handle, AGL Defense lower parts, AGL Sidewinder brake, Daniel Defense mil-spec trigger, Daniel Defense gray pistol grip, stock and vertical fire grip, backup irons, and a receiver extension, all Daniel Defense, a Stag mil-spec BCG, it's got quick disconnect receiver and plate, an EOTech 512 optic, Enforce APL light mount at 12 o'clock, Blue Force gear adjustable 2-point sling. She's looking for $1,650 for the above. Actually, that's not a bad price for all that. The optic alone is $500 or $600 alone. That's a good deal.
Yeah, so you're paying about $1,100 for the rest of it, and that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, so if you want a nice gun for three gun all spec'd out, this is a really good deal. And then she's selling her beloved SIG MK25 P226. Oh, poor girl. Comes with four 10-round mags, a Highlander FDE holster, and mag pouches, and she's hoping to get $1,000 for the pistol and mags and holsters. Actually, that's a good deal, too, because the SIG goes for, what, just $9 by itself?
Maybe more.
Maybe more these days?
Yeah, P226 is for sure minimum $1,000. And you're getting the additional mags, plus you're getting the holster. That's a good deal.
That's a sweet deal. I wonder what Beretta she's looking at then, because she's get rid of all her gear. Probably, what is it, the Silver Pigeon would be the base, and that's still, she's still going to need more money for Silver Pigeon unless she gets it on sale.
Well, Al Simmons is going on, maybe they have something nice in stock.
Oh, if you shop around right now, there's still people having sales after the holidays. So if you're interested in purchasing this excellent rifle, or the SIG pistol, just message the show and we'll pass the message along to Jess because it's a sweet deal. The other thing, I don't know if they're if they go on the equipment exchange or CGN, that's another option she could do.
Yeah.
But I don't think Terry would let me buy an AR right now. I'm not even going to mention it to her. I'll just get slapped or something. So please send any feedback, questions, or comments you may have to host at newsshootercanada.ca, our Facebook page, or in our comment section and our website at newsshootercanada.ca. iTunes or Stitchers, we don't know because Mike's not here. He's the only one that checks those for us. And Facebook, last time I checked, we were, what, 1306?
1305.
We went down one. Damn. I hate when that happens.
I know, right? Some people have just no respect.
Closing comments. As I said in the beginning, I apologize that we missed the Christmas show this year. What my plans were is that people that written in, you're all going to get thrown out of the bus by Santa. So we're going to save you for next year. But it's my fault, so I apologize. Shoutouts. Any shoutouts?
Yeah. Shout out to my wife, putting up with me like usual. Letting me go to the three gun last week, and hopefully she'll let me go to the three gun next week. Not next week, sorry, next month. Yeah, that's about it. Thomas?
Listener Joss Fast, he mentioned about freezing his butt off at the range and a couple days ago. I made some crack to him, and he said, yeah, but I was listening to New Shooter to Canada on the drive there. So shout out to Josh for listening to us on the way to the range. That's the only time I listen to podcasts, too, is when I get in the car. If I'm driving someplace, I'll download, I'll go on, usually Slamfire, Modern Reference Radio these days, because Brian's too busy on Slamfire. But sometimes the Armed Squirrels Project or whatever. But if I know I'm going, if I'm driving into the city, that's when I listen to podcasts in the car. Shout out, my mom. Thank you for the lovely Christmas present, mom. You remember I was looking at watches last year and I decided on the Bertucci field watch. There was a Seiko watch that I decided not to get only because it didn't have the 24-hour dial. It just had the hour indices and the 5-minute markings. She got me a it's not an expensive one, but it's a Seiko 807. It's a field watch. I've never had a mechanical watch before. It's always been quartz because I just started getting appreciating watches, and it's a lovely watch. Nail strap. So thanks, Bum. It's really nice. Oh, and the other one I forgot to mention. My brother got me a break, rimfire break.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forgot all about it. Originally, my mom asked me what I wanted, and every year my mom gets me something for shooting. So this is why this shout out. Actually, I usually give my mom a shout out at Christmas. Since I was a kid, she gets me something, and I'm 58 years old. My mom's, well, I'll be 58 in a couple months, and my mom's in her 70s, and like she's gotten me the last couple of years. She's got me a crony. She's got me the shooting mat that you use for the maple seed. My mom got me that. She's got me CR Speed mag holders. Anything I ask her for shooting, say, Mom, I need new hearing protection this year. She gets it for me. So I originally asked her for the Tandem Cross 22 muzzle brake for the part of my grand power because the K22 is threaded. And so I thought about it, and I said, no, I changed my mind. I said, why don't you get me the watch? I'd like something that I can have that reminds me of you, that I can have with me all the time, just not when I'm going shooting. You know, I'd like a watch. That way, every time I wear the watch, you know, you gave it to me, it's going to have sentimental value, and I'll have it with me all the time. She goes, oh, that's sweet. So she ordered me the watch. Meanwhile, I wasn't fast enough. She already ordered the muzzle brake. So my brother paid her for the muzzle brake. My brother gave me the muzzle brake for Christmas. So a shout out to my brother, Shannon, for getting me the Tandem Cross muzzle brake, and a shout out to my mom for the lovely Christmas present. Thank you, Mom. She does listen sometimes, too.
Wow.
Yeah, she downloads it in the car and she listens when she's driving down here. I listened to your show when I was coming to see you today. Oh, that's nice, Mom. do a shout out to, you know, I got to give Canadian Gunworks a shout out for replacing Juana's shotgun. She's very, very happy. So Juana's happy. I'm happy. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus over that. And it was nice seeing George and Wanda over the holidays. Hopefully we can get George and Wanda back on the show. She's putting in her paperwork for her pal because she did pass the course. And MD should be putting in her paperwork for her pal, should she not?
Yeah, we'll see when that finishes. We've got a lot else going on. So when we do sit down to do something properly, it's we end up doing something else.
She's busy with her magic pot right now, right?
Yeah, her Instant Pot.
Or Instant Pot, that's what it was.
Yeah, Instant Pot, and then organizing the website and everything. So,
okay, she has a valid excuse then.
Yes.
Okay. So until next week, keep your barrels pointed downrange and smoking. I'm not going to do mics. You just do your own.
No, but take a kid shooting. Isn't that the next line?
I was just going to do Joey. Okay, take a kid. Take a couple of kids shooting. Actually, take 14 kids shooting, that Penny's going to do.
Hopefully. It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll speak to you next week.
Good night.
Good night.
I really like 22 now.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale until I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.